So I don't know about you, but this has been a really challenging week for me, a really emotional week. It's been a hard week with what's gone on in Charlottesville this week. I am amazed and I am appalled and I am angry and I'm sad and my heart is broken and I feel dumbfounded as how this can be happening in this country today. And what I know, and what I want you to know, is that the reason we are appalled, and the reason that it breaks our hearts, and the reason that it breaks people's hearts across this entire country, is because we are all waking up to the fact that we are all connected to each other, that we are all part of this one human family. That we, regardless of your color of your skin or your race or where you are from, we are all kin and we are all brothers and sisters to each other. And we are all brothers and sisters to each other and kin because we are all part of this one life of the divine, part of this one presence in this universe. And so I don't know if you heard that yesterday there was supposed to be another rally in Boston. It was called a free speech rally, but it was really about white supremacists saying what they say. And my understanding is that 20 people showed up of the white supremacists, and 40,000 people showed up in protest. Peaceful protests against this. So it doesn't just affect us here who are open-hearted and connected to spirit. There is a waking up happening in this country, across this country, and it hurts, and people are saying this isn't okay. When people are treated unfairly or unjustly, when people are attacked or are the recipients of violence and hatred, their pain that they feel is my pain. Because we are part of that one energetic field, that one life that is the body of God. All of this, we are all part of that body of God. And so that means then it hurts to see ignorance, and it hurts to see hatred, and it hurts to see people being treated inhumanely. Because in our waking up to our own spirit, in this spiritual awakening that's happening within us, in this waking up to the fact that we are connected to each other, the pain is even greater because we have this awareness of our connection. And so today then, we come together in this room in our sadness and in our bewilderment and in our indignation and in our love, because I stand for love. And I stand for oneness. And I know that you stand for love and you stand for oneness. Living Beyond Limits stands for love and we stand for oneness. That is what we're about here. And I know that you have chosen to walk this spiritual path. And what that means, because you've chosen to walk this path, is that you're walking this path every day in everything that happens. All of it is part of this path. You don't get to step off of it. And so that means that because we're walking the spiritual path, we don't get to do it just when it's convenient or when it's easy. We get to do it all of the time. And so that means during times of chaos, like what's been going on this week, here and abroad, in times of chaos and turmoil, as awakened beings, we are called to be the presence of love. We are called to stand in unity. Do you hear the call? We are being called right now to stand in love and unity. We are being called to be the presence of love. And so I read something this week that I'd like to share with you. And it says, every year I travel to Northern California's Pacific Coast to spend a day with a close friend of mine in the sublime solitude of the Muir Woods. in a sanctuary of enormous redwoods, so tall they hardly allow the rays of sun to reach the ground, we share our hearts. One day, we came across a park ranger explaining the secrets of the forest to a group of tourists. The redwoods and sequoias, he explained, are the world's largest trees. Many are hundreds of years old. Their root systems are shallow, and the hilly terrain's loose soil provides little support for the enormous trees. Still, throughout the centuries, they've managed to endure raging windstorms, frigid blizzards, and devastating earthquakes. How do they remain standing so long with only shallow roots? The park ranger explained the underground secret of the redwoods. Their roots reach outward and wrap tightly around the roots of their neighbors. The embrace of their roots creates a permanent bond between the trees. In this way, thousands of trees support one another. Even the youngest sapling is sheltered as the ancient giants extend their roots to support it. In this underground root network, all the redwoods in the forest are directly and indirectly connected. Their strength is in their unity. It's unity that empowers them to grow, even in the face of adverse conditions. Back in the Muir Woods, my friend and I reflected on the idea that our strength lies in caring for one another. We need to reach out our roots of affection and embrace one another with a commitment to share and care and support. Self-absorption exiles us to the shallow soil of our own limitations, dependent only on our own deceiving ego. When we stop thinking of me and mine and start thinking of we and ours, our roots will hold strong in the soil of love, trust, and grace. We are being called to be the presence of love. We are being called to stand for unity. We are being called to stand for oneness and peace and equality and fairness. We are being called to send down deep roots into spirit and to spread them out to wrap around each other. The title of my talk today is Standing Room Only, and I'm talking about standing up as a representative for spirit, standing up as a representative for love and inclusion, taking a stand. I'm talking about taking a stand through our consciousness and through our actions and through our words to be the change we wish to see in this world. To stand up for what our spirit knows is right. And we are being called to do that in a way that contributes to the good of everybody, not in ways that contribute to what it is that we do not want. That means not to do it in ways that contribute to more strife or more pain or more separation or more otherness. Martin Luther King says, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." And Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, says, "Hate begets hate. Strife produces strife. Love alone overcomes all." And so our job then, as awakened human beings, is to make that one infinite love presence of the universe, to make it real in this world. Our job is to bring that presence into the world in a way that is beneficial to everyone, that is beneficial to the whole. In the words of Saint Francis, "Make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love and oneness and peace and inclusion and harmony." Let me sow care and kindness. Let me sow unity and fairness and equality and oneness. That is my prayer, and I invite you to let that be your prayer also. You know, I know that it is absolutely a natural instinct when things happen like what happened in Charlottesville this week to absolutely be furious and to be in indignation and to be in anger and to even be in hatred sometimes. We tend to fall into hatred towards the people that we think are responsible for what happened. But what happened there is the shadow side of humanity. It's the shadow side of the ego. It's the shadow side of the part of us that thinks we're separate and apart and limited. And we all contain that shadow to a certain degree. None of us are free of that shadow. And so I am in an email group that is ministers from Centers for Spiritual Living talking to each other. And I've been reading it a lot this week, and there have been a lot of things going out about this. And one person posted this that I think you will appreciate it. It's called Love and Hate, but it's really about judging. He says, when I lived in St. Petersburg, Florida, I was told not to cross the bridge to Tampa because the people there would rob me. When I went to Tampa, I was told not to go back to St. Petersburg because it was God's waiting room. When I lived in a medium-sized city in upstate New York, I was told to watch out for the country bumpkins. And when I moved to the country, I was told I was a city slicker. My friend from Argentina informed me Latinos have no class. My friend from Brazil hates folks from Venezuela, but not sure what is wrong with them. My Venezuelan friend tells me those with light skin are better than those with dark skin, but no matter what the color, they are better than anyone from Mexico. My Mexican friends tell me black folks are lazy and won't work. My black friends tell me Puerto Ricans have ruined the neighborhood. I was told not to trust a Russian and that all Italians belong to one branch of the mob or another and wear too much jewelry. My German friends insist that Germans are smarter than other people, and the only people who know how, and they are the only people who know how to make beer and enjoy it. My English friends tell me the Irish drink and write too much, and too much poetry and can't sing. My Scottish friend said he has no friends, but he'd rather drink alone than with an Irishman. That's the activity of the ego. It wants to separate everything and put everything in a hierarchy, and where do we stand compared to everybody else, and who's better than everybody else? That's the activity of the ego. That's what it does. Ernest Holmes calls that the carnal mind. That carnal mind has a limited concept of truth with a capital T. Ego mind has a limited concept of the truth. It has a belief in isolation and in separation from good. I know that every single one of us in this room wants to have peace in this world and peace in this country and peace in our own cities and peace in our homes. I know that we want to live in a world of unity and a world of love. That world is created from the spirit. It's not created from the ego. That world is created from spirit, the spirit that lives inside of each one of us. But we have to tap into it and touch it and listen within in order to make choices from there and to be guided from there. And so the ending of this email says, this is just a small sample of the friends that I have found who have good reasons to dislike their fellow human being. Small-minded prejudices, hate, and bigotry have been around forever, but so has love. And so my question to you is, which do you choose? Do you choose love? or do you choose bigotry? Do you choose love or do you choose hatred? In the Bible, it tells us you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve love and fear. You cannot serve love and hate. You cannot serve the Spirit, who is what is that is inclusive and one, and serve the ego that is all about separation and hierarchy. You can't serve the two at the same time. You can't serve the Spirit and the ego of competition and fear. And so we are called to rise above that realm of the carnal mind, of that ego mind. We are called to rise above our human thinking and our ego, and instead to see through the eyes of our heart. We are called to see through the eyes of our spirit. We are called to see through the eyes of unity and equality. And when we see through the eyes of our spirit, that's automatically where we make the choice. That's the choice we make automatically, a choice of unity and equality and joy. And so in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes says, "The sincere practitioner," that's you, "the sincere practitioner will be sure his own thought is clear, that his own faith is equal to the demands made upon it. Above all else, he must be careful not to get caught in the negative stream of consciousness. Jesus could not have raised Lazarus from among those who were believed to be dead if he had been afraid to roll away the stone, nor if he had listened to the wailing of those about him." Getting caught up in the negativity, yes, it has a place, but getting caught up there and staying there doesn't serve us. And so it's appropriate to be appalled. It's appropriate to be angry. It's appropriate to have your heart broken when this stuff happens, when heinous acts happen in this world. And we cannot create the world that we want from that place in mind, from that focus, from that place in consciousness. You cannot create a peaceful and just world from being angry and hate-filled. You can't create your desired outcome for this world of peace if you're not in peace. And I know that that is a really hard concept to get because, damn it, I'm mad. But let me give you an example that I think you'll be able to get it and actually feel it. So if, for example, your spouse had an affair and then you found out about it, and the two of you decided you wanted to stay in the relationship and you wanted to make the relationship work. Not just did you want to make it work, but you decided you wanted to make it a loving and nurturing relationship that was healthy for you both to be in. Could you create that loving, healthy, nurturing relationship if you kept focusing on the affair that that person had? Do you get that? When you think about it, can you feel it? I can't create that from being angry and focusing on that affair. We can't create the world of peace and harmony and love and joy while we're focused on what isn't working. You can't create the healthy, harmonious relationship when you're focused on the affair. It doesn't work that way. You can't create the world that you want when you're stuck in what isn't working, because it keeps you stuck. That's why Ernest Holmes tells us, turn entirely away from the condition and focus on what it is that you want. That doesn't mean we pretend it didn't happen. That doesn't mean it doesn't make us angry and it doesn't hurt. But what it means is you feel those feelings, you allow yourself to have them and move through them, and then you turn your attention to what do I want to create now. And so my invitation to you this week is to get clear about what the world, the kind of world that you want to live in, what that looks like. Get clear about what that is and write it down. Because if you write it down, something happens, you have more of a commitment to it, and you can refer to it. Oh, I want to live in this world of love. I'm not really acting that way. Oh, I want to create this world of peace. That's not how I'm acting or what I'm focused on right now. So make a list. Is it that you want to live in a world that is loving or peaceful or harmonious or a world of unity, fairness, whatever it is, but write those things down. And then live in alignment with those principles. Make sure that your actions and your words and your thinking is in alignment with what it is that you want to create. Be the change you wish to see in this world. Be an instrument through which that divine presence of love and oneness can manifest itself in this world. Be that conduit. And as a result, we will be tipping those scales along with those other 40,000 people that showed up yesterday at that demonstration. We will be tipping the scales toward that world that we all want to live in. And so thank you for walking this path and for saying yes to this call of your own spirit and for making a difference in this world. I thank all of you. Thank you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. Oh, and how good it is to answer this call to prayer, this call from my own spirit to turn within and remember, to turn within and feel and sense and know that there is indeed only one power in this universe, one power and one life and one presence that is the very energy of life itself, that is the energy of love and of peace and of wholeness and of good. For we live in this presence of good. We live in this magnificent energy of this creative force of the universe that has brought this whole world forth into being out of its own creativity and out of its own love. We live in that presence today, and that presence lives within us. That presence expresses itself within our hearts and within our souls and as our very spirit. And so today we turn within and we listen to that call of our own soul to be this presence here in the world, to be this presence of peace, and to be this presence of love, and to be this presence of inclusivity and of embracing humanity where it is broken, where it cannot see the light, where it thinks it is separate and distinct, and thinks that there is scarcity and not enough. We come from this place of truth within ourselves, knowing that that is a lie and a fraud, that the infinite is always right where we are at every moment of our lives, for it is the all in all, that one whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere is right where we are. And so today and tomorrow and the next day and the next, we bring this presence into the world in a way that is beneficial to all of those around us. And I speak this word also knowing that that one presence right now is unfolding itself in the heart and in the mind of anyone who is feeling separate, anyone who is feeling injured, anyone who is feeling distinct and apart, like they're not enough or even like they are better than anyone else. There's this equalizing presence of the one love, and it is revealing itself today, that there is a healing taking place in this country. There is a healing taking place across this entire world that is a spiritual awakening to the truth of our oneness. And so it is this that I claim, it is this that I stand in, that I stand upon, for it is done unto us as we believe. And so I hold this to be true. And so I rest in this place of truth, and I release this spoken word into that infinite law of the universe that is the very law of my own being and the law of my own life. And so I rest in this, and I simply release this prayer and let it be. And so it is.